Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
Get rid of all of those limiting beliefs that are like, I don't have enough right now. It's like, that's okay. Whatever amount that you have, if you can set up the structure to just get started, then all of a sudden in a year from now, when you were telling yourself you had nothing, you're going to look at that and go, actually, I did have some money and these balances are starting to increase.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Welcome back to the show. I am so glad to have you here. Wow. Well, today feels like a really good day. I don't know about you, but something about today, maybe it's because we're talking about superpowers, but I know this is going to be a great episode.
thinking about superpowers, there are so many times in my adult life where I have really wanted to just put on some Wonder Woman underoos and feel like a superhero again, like I did at 5, 6 years old. Sorry if that is TMI, but I think life can be a little tough. It would be nice to climb back into those underoos from time to time. And with money in particular, there are so many things to do with your money. Investing is usually one that goes to the bottom of the list. You don't have enough time, enough money, enough know-how, whatever it is. Well, our guest, Shanabu Hindert, really wants to change that. She's a CFP, creator of Empowered Planning, and the author of a new book called Investing is Your Superpower. And her message is, investing isn't just for men. It's for anyone who wants to thrive financially. We chat about your investing checklist, how to get started, what to do to kick investing to the next level, and how to really use investing as your superpower to help you make your money goals come true. I can't wait for you to listen to this one. I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money Podcast, and let's get into the interview. Well, Shanabu, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. As I mentioned before I hit record button, that anytime we do an episode around investing, particularly with women, this is always one of those topics that I feel like we just can't get enough of. So thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to hear your questions and dive into all of the goodies here.
Well, we both know that millennial women, I think we feel bogged down by a lot of things. There's just the cost of living, which is a lot. I live in Los Angeles and it's extraordinary. And really anywhere we live, the cost of living is high. And I think investing can just feel overwhelming. It just feels like this big concept. We know we should do it, but we don't necessarily know how to or how to get started. Or even if we are investing, like, are we doing this right? So how can women today focus on like paying down debt and still being smart with their money, but also still start investing for the future? Like, how do we balance those two plates?
Yeah, that's a great question, because one of the common hurdles that I come into surface with a lot of women that I work with is like, it's not a good time, or I don't have enough to get started. And I think we need to just change that narrative, because the industry has become really democratized that anyone can start. And when I started in this industry 15 years ago, you did have to have a lot of money because there were higher minimums, there were account fees, right, and so on. So when you're thinking about like, how the heck am I supposed to balance all of these things? I really like to start more with your vision of how you want your life to look. And if you can kind of start at the high level from there, as you say those things out loud, write them down, talk to a friend about what you want your life to look like, you're going to find that those things, you can actually attach a financial goal behind the scenes to those. And that is a great place to start to look at and say, okay, well, you know, I did want to start looking at owning a home. I do need a new car in 6 years from now. I do, you know, want to make this investment in my business. And then as you're having those conversations, as a kind of the financial planner mind, is you can say, well, I need one goal for saving for a home and investing. I need another goal, parceling out money for a new car. I need another goal for, and you can kind of just back into it that way. I kind of look at it like you're reverse engineering. And if that's the case, get rid of all of those limiting beliefs that are like, I don't have enough right now. It's like, that's okay. Whatever amount that you have, if you can set up the structure to just get started, then all of a sudden in a year from now, when you were telling yourself you had nothing, you're going to look at that and go, actually, I did have some money and these balances are starting to increase. And then it's more top of mind. So I kind of just want people to incorporate it in how they think about like planning for life. And then these things will sort of fall into place, because the idea that I'll do this kind of at one point in time isn't really going to be sustainable. And that all actually feels like really hard work. But if you start to incorporate this into your life, you're kind of slowly, slowly chipping away at it. And then it just becomes kind of this like habitual practice.
Mm. I like how that feels. And I talk a lot about vision. I'm a real firm believer in vision and writing down your vision. And I have this thought when you were just talking that I would imagine somebody listening feels this way, that they have a vision, but maybe the vision just feels so big or so far off. Like, is it even humanly possible? Like, they have so many goals they want to achieve, and they look at where they are now, just like you were talking about, and it just feels maybe almost impossible. So I think a lot of people start thinking, well, why should I even have that vision? Because it just feels like there's no way this is going to happen. So when we talk about investing, is there a way to break down, if something is really big, into like small bits where we can actually feel like we're achieving something and we're not just, you know, shooting for the moon in like the first step?
Yeah. And in my book, I do talk about the adjustable elements when you're goal planning, because you could write down these six goals that you have, and maybe you are far away from them today. But if you actually look at those and start running some really basic calculations that you don't have to go too into the weeds, but if you just used a growth calculator and said, okay, if I started to save $100 a month towards this goal and it grew at 5%, what would that look like in 10 years from now? And you start to get an idea of if your goals are realistic, because you might really be surprised. And as you go through these exercises, you might say, okay, well, actually, I had the goal of buying a home for myself and having a new car and investing more money in my business. But now that I look at these and I run these numbers, I'm actually closer to this home goal than I thought. And now it's less important for me to have this car. Maybe it's less important for me to invest in this business because I'm going to spend more of that free capital on investing in a property for myself. So it actually feels like clarity when you go through this, because you're in the driver's seat and you get to decide, well, what do I really want? And as you go through this, you are going to have these like aha moments where you're going to say, you know what, something that I really thought I cared about before is less of a priority now that I actually go through this and I see I can do these things that I want to do. I just, you know, we don't know how to financially plan. Even when I was in college and I was a business minor and economics major, and I had a class in finance, they didn't talk about this. Right. So, you know, it's just confusing to go from, you know, that would almost be like someone asking me to design a website. You know, it's like, I could tell you all the things I want on it, but if they're like, okay, here you go, read this book and get it done. It's like, wait a minute. I don't think I can do this on my own. It's really just like learning another language, but taking baby steps. So even just the simple act of going, opening an account, setting up so it's directly getting invested once a month at $50, $100, whatever you can afford. And it's in a fund, you know, let's just say like an S&P 500 fund. So you can just get the practice of doing that and then just experiencing what that's like. And, you know, interest rates are paying zero in a savings account. So it's becoming more of an attractive option to get invested.
So you talked about an important point there, that most of us don't learn the language. There's so much financial jargon. Most of us weren't taught about money in school. I think probably I can safely say about 98% of us listening to this, maybe there's like a small 2%, but we never really learned anything about money, let alone how to invest with a strategy. So it's easy to say, I think, and particularly I've seen this happen in the last year, where you might say, well, I want to invest in XYZ stock, whatever that is, because everybody's talking about it. So if everybody's talking about it, I must need to invest in it. But what I'm interested in is, how do we actually put together an investing strategy that works for us versus just picking a stock out of the blue because somebody said, this is what we need to invest in?
Yeah, there's definitely kind of a thematic process that goes through it. And the first thing is, like, I'm just going to keep going back to the same home example because we started with it. But if we, there's no rhyme or reason other than that. But if we're talking about, okay, I want to buy a home, let's say it's in, you know, 7 years from now or 6 years from now, whatever that looks like, that's really the first part of it, is like the vision planning of what do you actually want. And then based on that, we have to know, well, what is your time frame? So when are you actually going to need to spend the money? The second thing is, how comfortable are you with risk when the market's going up, down? How do you feel if the market's decreasing? Are you losing sleep at night? Or you're like, I don't really look at my accounts that much. It doesn't really bother me. And then the third thing is your current financial situation. So if, for example, you're all pumped up for this podcast and you're like, all right, I'm going to start saving for this awesome goal that I have. You're putting money in, you're getting invested, and you have an unexpected expense that comes up. Do you have cash reserves that you can use to pay for that? Or are you going to have to look to this investment to sell? So you always need those three things to figure those out to create your investment strategy. And I am a fan of asset allocation, which is just creating these percentages of risks, stocks versus bond versus cash based on your goal. And I go into all of this in the book because they're kind of these templates that a lot of money managers use as well. So you don't have to go and recreate the wheel, but you could look at those things and say, okay, well, based on when I need the money, based on my risk tolerance, based on I have cash reserves, I'm kind of in a balanced type of mix. I'm going to put 60% of my money in stocks, 40% in bonds. And then you can find a mutual fund that'll do that for you.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And you mentioned your book, Investing is Your Superpower. I love that name, by the way.
Thank you.
Everybody wants a superpower, right? I mean, come on. And you talk about this idea that the pros that are out there in investing, they don't necessarily know more than we know. And yet we tend to think that social media or the news, we tend to think like somebody out there knows way more about this than we do. And there's no way that we can possibly be profitable just as even a newbie investor. So do the pros like really know more about investing than the rest of us? Do they know some things that we need to know, or like where is that divide?
So they definitely do. They know a ton of information, but they want to limit the kind of human capital risk that's involved, because the more you know, the more dangerous essentially you can become, because right. You start to think that you can predict what the market's going to do. And that can be really, really dangerous. So that's why they use a lot of asset allocation as a guideline to say, this is how we're going to manage the money inside of these gaps. So for example, if they're looking at 60% of your account should be in stocks or equities, and they're going to use some mutual funds, they're going to make sure they're spreading that risk around. So there could be a situation where they see, let's just say, growth stocks, technology stocks, for example, are poised to have a lot of growth. They might put a little bit more money in that versus, like, if I was just sitting at home, not really paying attention to it, I just might pick a fund and it's like, well, I don't really know exactly how that is. I'm not going to manipulate my account to put a little bit more here, a little bit less. I'm like, I'm okay if I miss out on 5% of earnings on that, versus a professional money manager who might go, okay, well, now we're going to overweight the portfolio more towards value stocks because we think we're going into a recession. So they can have this extra kind of oversight when they're professionally managing it, but that might only be a 1% difference, 2% difference if you just pick a diversified mutual fund that's a balanced fund, because it matches all of your goals. So yeah, you don't need to have tons and tons and tons of money to be able to hire some of these money managers. And if you have an opportunity to talk to a professional money manager, there is a 90% chance that they are not managing their own money. I've worked with so many. I've talked to so many. When I used to live on the East Coast in New Jersey, I lived right outside of New York City. I had a lot of either portfolio managers or money managers that were clients. And this is what they did all day, every day. And they all had these really hysterical stories about when they either made a ton of money that was lucky, or they lost a ton of money that they were like, I'm not allowed to manage my own accounts. Because they make different decisions because they're emotional and they're like, I see something in the market. They would never do that in a client account because they're held to different standards. But in their own, they're like, I got a hunch. I'm gonna go on this hunch. And when they're right, it feels great. And when they're wrong, they're like, all right, my family said I can't touch the family money. I have to open a separate account and do it on my own. So just know that even the brightest of the brightest, the market is always forward thinking, and it's hard to be able to have a repeatable process to beat out what the market's going to do.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
Don't go anywhere. Shinabu is sharing her investing to-do list, which you must know, and how to balance investing with life in the second half of our chat. Off we go.
You talked about advisor versus doing it ourselves. And I know robo-advisors are something that I'm sure every listener on the show is very familiar with. You know, what is the difference between, say, working with a robo-advisor, maybe picking some funds yourself versus like working with a financial advisor? Where are the pros and cons in each of those?
So it's all really just based on like who you are as a person, your personality, how hands-on or hands-off you want to be. But then it can boil down also to size of your assets. Because if you're like me, I'm in the process of making money, right? I'm like in this wealth accumulation phase. So I don't have $5 million in cash that I can give someone to invest. My clients, you know, on the low end had $750,000. So really it was like clients with a million or more I could talk to. That's great for them that they get access to advisors that have what we call a wrap fee, where they're paying a fee to work with me based on having $1 million. If you're in, you know, in the process of building that wealth, and let's say you have $25,000, $10,000, $100,000, well, you might not qualify to work with some of these financial advisors one-on-one, but that doesn't mean there's not solutions available to you. That's when you can either do it yourself or utilize a robo-advisor. And it's very attractive then. I would, as someone begins to build wealth, I would say like above 500,000, above 750,000, you do want that diversification of thought where you're not just using a robo-advisor, a simplified solution that I would really encourage people that they could find a ton of value working with an advisor, because you're going to have someone that's able to look at overall your taxes. What does it not just look like for tomorrow, but 5 years from now? But in the meantime, if you don't have that yet, there are so many tools that you could do it yourself. And when you do it yourself, that doesn't mean you have to have 7 computer screens up, watching the stock market all the time, buying and trading stocks. You could just buy diversified mutual funds and kind of build your own portfolio that way. And you could always test it out and give yourself 3 to 6 months. More often than not, what I see with people that want to do it themselves is life happens. And they're like, I had this plan, I put it in place, I was going to do, you know, get out of this, and I was going to reevaluate this and rebalance this. But then my wife, you know, whatever the case is, it's like life just happens. Or my parents, my in-laws came into town for 2 months. So it's just a good barometer to say, if you are doing it yourself, just keep yourself honest, put a reminder every couple months or once a month to see how often. And what I encourage people to do is actually log hours. So you can reflect back on that and see, actually, I only looked at this for 1 hour in the past 4 months. I'm not really staying on top of this. I'm going to use, you know, kind of an automated fund in that sense.
That's a really good idea. I like that a lot. And it also keeps yourself accountable.
Yeah, because I find the same thing. Yes, this is my profession, but I have 2 kids. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm married. I mean, there's lots of other things that come up that when I'm not working, how much time do I really have to be managing and buying and selling? And it's like, you kind of have to just get real with yourself.
Yeah, that's funny because my husband and I love to watch, we're a huge like documentary people. We watch documentaries in the evening a lot. And because I do all this stuff all day long around money, sometimes we'll go to watch a show and he's like, oh, this one's really great. It's about like the income wealth gap or something. I'm like, no,
yeah,
I can't watch anything about money. Like my brain cannot handle another thing. So it's so true, especially when you're in this arena or if you're just really hyper-focused on your money, sometimes it's almost like the you know, reverse happens where you don't look at things as much as you should. So there's like this really healthy balance point, I think.
Oh, yeah. I had clients that worked at CNBC and they were like, I cannot do this myself. Like they were kind of going insane because every time I talked to them, they're like, I think the market's going to crash. We're having these really revved up conversations. And I'm like, hey, you're surrounded by headlines all day. And a lot of it is just to get attention because they need people to, especially because of technology and people not literally getting a physical newspaper or sitting down to watch the 5 o'clock news. They're always trying to fight for headlines and who can have the better viewership essentially on their website. So that if you work there as an employee, it can be like shocking. And I just want your audience to know that even if someone is a professional, that doesn't mean they're necessarily better at this than you, because that can also be hard to manage.
Very true. Well, okay. So you gave this great tip about logging your hours. Are there investing like to-do items that we should check off while we're investing or maybe before we're investing? Like, is there a laundry list of things that we need to have in check?
Yeah, like first and foremost, to have an emergency fund to make sure that that looks good to you. And I think COVID has changed the rules on what an emergency fund is. So as a certified financial planner, when you go through the certification and the testing and literally in practice with your clients, it's always been 3 to 6 months, typically 3 months if you're in a two-income household, and then 6 months if you're in a single-income household, or you have two people that work for the same company, then we'd err on the side of 6 months. Because of COVID, when you had high-income earners losing their jobs in the middle of this pandemic, there wasn't quick job replacement within 3 months, even within 6 months. So I think just kind of looking at your industry and saying, well, how realistic is it that I could replace my income? What's the time frame? Really building an emergency fund around that so you can let your investments ride if it's not a good time for you to be tapping them. If your intention is, not to touch that money for 10 years, then you don't want to make knee-jerk reactions because you need to tap into that money. So that's the first thing I would do is just be in a position that you can invest. And then kind of circling back to what I said before of your time frame, your risk tolerance, your financial situation, and then figuring out, okay, what is an ideal asset mix for me? What percentage of bonds versus stocks should I have? And international stocks as well. And I think this gets tough because when you're showing someone, especially with how well the market's performed, when you're taking a look at a bond fund that might pay you 4%, and then you're looking at the stocks in there and you're like, well, last year they returned 20%. You don't want bonds, right? It's like, yeah, no thanks. And they're like not this sexy investment. So I think the first thing you need to do is try to detach a little bit emotionally from it of what does that asset allocation look like to you? And then you can plug in the pieces with the types of funds that you like, or if it's individual stocks, and to make sure that you're truly getting diversification. Because there's many times where when you don't know the language, you're buying a fund that says it's a growth fund. You're like, yep, growth, that sounds good. I want growth. And then it's an S&P 500 fund. And then you're buying something that's like blue chip. And then when you actually dig into those are all invested in the same area. So just to also make sure that you have true diversification when you are investing.
Well, you have such a cool story. I was prepping for this interview and poking around on your website, Empowered Planning. And you share this story about your mom and dad and how they met and how money was talked about in your house. And from both different parents, you kind of received a little bit different messaging. So I want to hear more. Tell me a little bit about your money story and how money was shared with you.
Yeah, my father was born and raised in Kenya, and he had lost both of his parents before he turned 18. So he had a lot of responsibility that he had to take on. And my mom she's from Japan, had gone to Kenya on a trip with some girlfriends. She fell in love with the culture and ended up staying. She got a job working for Mitsubishi and met my father through his cousin that worked there. But she had kind of met him when he had gone through a lot of this trauma with his family. And then for them to be together, they had to come to the United States. So he actually had kids when he was pretty young, in his early 20s. And right from the get-go, from, you know, the minute he turned 17, 18, he had to do everything on his own. So his, wow, his attitude towards money was very different from my mom. She was from, you know, I would say like middle class or maybe even upper middle class family, where money really wasn't talked about at all. And the only time she really remembered money coming up was when she was in college. She went to a college right next to where her brother went to college, and they were looking at these envelopes that they got from their parents. And my mom said she had twice as much money as her brother had. And she just remembers being really confused. Like, she was like, I don't understand. Like, we're both going to schools right next to each other. Like, what do you mean he's been getting half of the amount that I've been getting this whole time? And so when she was with my dad here, he was like, really wanted me to be aware all the time about money. And for my mom, she was like, inappropriate, inappropriate, inappropriate. You don't talk to a little girl about money. And it made her so uncomfortable. But then he would always circle back. I remember sitting at a table talking to them in the early evening, and my dad was like, where is she going to go? Who is she going to talk to? My family's all in Kenya. Your family doesn't even speak English. How is she going to communicate? And at that time, we didn't have WhatsApp. We didn't have, in Japan, they use Line. You don't have all of these apps that you could talk to people, or, you know, FaceTime. So it was like, oh, how am I going to call a foreign number? Like, how would I get in touch with anyone? So it really scared me, where he was like, if something happens to both of us tomorrow, I need to know that you understand how to take care of yourself. Number one, something terrible was going to happen. And number two, that people were always going to try to like take stuff from me. So I started to really internalize that. And I actually began to hoard money even as a kid. So if I did chores, if anything that, you know, my first jobs, I remember always wanting a job. And my dad kept telling me, I want you to be a kid. Like, I remember him always being like, you got the rest of your life to work. And now as an adult, I can understand that was because it was so hard for him. And he was like, if you have a chance to not do this. And where my mom was like, no, she needs to work. She needs to pay for her own thing. Like, she was like, you got to go take care of this. So when I started to work, I would have these envelopes that I would put cash in, and I would literally hide them around my room.
Wow.
And, you know, really looking back on that, that was like a serious fear that I had, that something bad was going to happen. And I used to think it was like my getaway money. I don't know where I was going. I lived in a suburb in New Jersey, but it's just really interesting. And that kind of carried me into this as a career, because I always was having talks with my parents about money. I knew when they had money and things were good. I knew when things weren't good and we were starting school. And I was like, okay, I can't ask for back to school stuff. That was always a big time of year for shopping.
Right.
And I remember that. And, but it, so just as a profession going into this, I was just fascinated that there were all these solutions, that there were strategies. And I'm like, oh, I need to learn more. And I had to kind of really work through all this emotional stuff that I had with money. So it's been really interesting, I would say.
Wow. Yeah. So such an interesting background. I mean, wow. It's just so fascinating how, you know, you have two different cultures and how those two different cultures view money differently. And so it makes sense that we all learn about money differently and have these money beliefs, sometimes unconscious, that we don't even know about. And
yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't realize that fear was driving much of my decisions,
right?
Or especially around money, probably until my mid-20s. I didn't really get that. I just thought I was being responsible and saving, but it wasn't in a healthy way.
Yeah, I understand that for sure. It's so interesting when you start to kind of like dig down a little bit and uncover some of these things. And you started your career working at some really large financial institutions and working primarily with high net worth individuals. And I'm wondering, are there any money lessons or takeaways that you can share with us that you learned from working with high net individuals? Like, do they have money all figured out, or are we all kind of in the same boat here?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I would take away from that, it was really rare to meet someone who just was like, well, I don't know, I just did this thing and I got all this money. I mean, that was really rare. That barely happened. Maybe once or twice someone had sold a company or invented something, but that was less than 5% of the people that I talked to. What it was that I noticed was just these little habits that people had of getting invested. So similar to how a 401k works is money's automatically taken out, it's automatically invested. So you don't have to push any buttons to get it invested, and you have to make any phone calls. And these little things that they did over a long period of time just made such a difference. And I think even for a lot of my clients, they were just so surprised that they had as much money as they did in such a positive way that they were like, wow, I would have never imagined this could have been.
Wow. Yeah, it's really interesting. I think you can, I mean, I worked a lot with high net worth individuals. And what I saw was that there are no original money mistakes. We all have made a variation of the same money mistakes, and we're all trying to figure out the same things around money. We may just be dealing with different amounts of money, but at the end of the day, we're all trying to figure out the same thing.
Yeah. And just to get started, you know, I think us right. reserving in our mind of saying, oh, I'll do that when I have more money. It's like somebody who would, you know, is not in your situation might think you are in that spot where you have more money. And it's kind of like we keep discounting ourselves of what we have right now. And just to put it in there and put your money to work, the sooner the better.
Yeah, well, this has been so insightful. I love chatting with you. So much great advice. I love to end every episode with an actionable tip, strategy, tool, anything that you think the Millennial Money listeners need to walk away from this interview. So what would that be?
That would be to take your vision of something that you want to achieve, let's just say within the next 10 years, and look at how much money you can start contributing to that today, and then go and do it.
It's
get
great.
Started.
That is fantastic. Short, sweet, and simple. I love it. Well, tell the listeners where they can go to pick up a copy of your book, Investing is Your Superpower, and also to connect with you at Empowered Planning.
Yes, the book is available at Target, Amazon, Barnes & Noble online, and my website, it's www.empoweredplanning.com. And I hang out a lot on Instagram, which is empowered_planning.
If you joined this conversation, you will definitely enjoy Shanabu's book, Investing is Your Superpower. It is such a unique way to think about investing focused on achieving your goals. So it's not what to invest in, it's how to invest to create the life you want. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with friends and family members, anybody who you think would love to embrace the idea that investing is your superpower. As always, you can head to the links in the show notes for Shanabu's information, as well as links to our episode sponsors. I will see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.
We've all spent more time with family lately. It can feel like old times, but your mind is on the future too, and what you can do to shape it. At Sandy Spring Bank, we work with clients to help them grow and protect their money with wealth management, trust services, and insurance, so they can enjoy today and ultimately pass along their wealth. We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about your dreams. Visit sandyspringbank.com/wealth. Wealth and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not guaranteed, and may lose value.